I have a very wonderful client whose name is Inhan Guides. And this audioboo is all about a business dilemma which the client has raised with me and that I've decided to share because I believe that it's of general interest. And I hope it is. And anyway, it certainly bugs me enough to share it with others because I don't think I have all the required wisdom in order to crack the issue which has been presented to me by the CEO, Trevor Winkworth. Trevor Winkworth is a CEO of Inhan Guides. He and I have been doing a series of business development podcasts, the most recent one of which was an interview with him leaving Heathrow Airport in order to go to China to sign a manufacturing contract. By way of contract context, that's it. Let me give you a little bit of back history first. I first came across this client in 2009 at a big business networking event in Cork in Ireland. And from a standing start, within about 5 minutes, I had decided that this was a business which was definitely worth backing, worth working with and for. And subsequently, I then went on to do a number of things for the company, one of which was to write a patent application for China. And there's a story behind that. And by the way, the patent application was successful. Inhan Guides have a successful patent for China. Innovative use of existing technology is what I remember the patent came under. Secondly, I wrote their website. In other words, I wrote the words for their website, and that was a terrifically interesting project because that enabled me to get inside the intentions of the company and learn that they were majoring at that time on two sectors, one of which is tourism and the other of which is health and lifestyle. They have since grafted on a third sector called public advocacy. And this company has grown and grown in the time I've known it since 2009. I met Trevor Winkworth down in Carrigaline over coffee by the water, which is about 10 or 12 miles or less from Cork City. So to rush this thing right up to the current day, I better put in one more thing. That in addition to writing the website, I am working with the company on its social media strategy and tactics, if you like. And one of the jobs I have done with the company is I have helped develop their Twitter activity. We're moving now from developing Twitter as an engaging forum to Twitter as a strategic force, and that's another story in its own right. Okay, this is a long preamble to the central dilemma, which came to me yesterday in the form of an email from the CEO, which said very simply, should we have, in the light of work you've done, we're doing in relation to development of Twitter lists, should we have more than one Twitter account? And this is the issue, and that's why I'm audio-booing this, because I think that many business-to-business companies in particular will have this dilemma. Now, Inhan Guides is really a business-to-business company. It provides smart audio devices to businesses that might want to connect with their customers, their clients, what's the word used for their stakeholders via an audio device, branded audio. Okay, they're in tourism and they're in health and lifestyle, and they're recently, as I said before, in public advocacy. The thing is that there has only been one Twitter account so far, and it has predominantly majored on tourism sector. And the website actually says that the company is in two sectors, and doesn't yet mention public advocacy, so that's a development which will be coming on stream very, very shortly, because Trevor Winkworth himself has, you know, made public the information that the company is in Iraq and in Africa with audio, and I haven't time here to fill you in on what exactly that is about. But should this company have one Twitter account dealing with everything, dealing with tourism, dealing with health and lifestyle, dealing with public advocacy? Or should it set up, let us say, three Twitter accounts? One in hand guides tourism, second in hand guides health and lifestyle, and thirdly in hand guides public advocacy, and even a fourth one, which is in hand guides corporate. That's pushing it to the extreme. So this is relevant because this is not a startup any longer. This is a company that isn't local any longer, not that it ever really was. It's a global company. It manufactures in China. It has business partners in North America. Audio Connexus springs to mind, very big. Business partners in South Africa. Roche Pharmaceuticals comes to mind. Business partners with the UN or some UN agencies come to mind. So it's genuinely a global country. It also has customers and in the Book of Kells in Ireland, in Glasnevin Cemetery in Kilkenny Castle, to name but a few, including in the UK. Let's go down the road of Blackpool Tower, and let's go down the road of the London Eye. So it's a company that's, you know, developing. And what should it do? Now, I have been asked, and I will eventually come to a view, and I will discuss it all with the people inside the company. This morning, I was drawn into a very I drew in another contact of mine, a business contact of mine, a man of immense experience in thinking about these business development, has helped many companies develop their business, and indeed in some ways there are some similarities in the sense that this person has also got a lot of experience of working with Enterprise Ireland. So the issue really, one of the things that came up in the conversation about it was that the value of segmenting the market, the value of the great opportunity this presents to in-hand guides of segmenting the market, the notion that there are gatekeepers in, let us suppose that the company wants to target a contact via Twitter and it wants to build a relationship with this company via Twitter. Well, given that in-hand guides is in more than one part of the market, tourism, health and advocacy, we'll say, for it, it's possible to find three ways into the same company if, for example, we're talking about a business that is also in similarly across or has interests in some form or other across several different sectors. So that sort of nicely complicated the thinking into market segmentation and gatekeepers and different ways to reach a target. We also talked about, you know, why on earth does anybody follow? Why does a business follow another business on Twitter? It may be, and I think there are certainly two, if not three, main reasons. And we were talking this morning, two of us, about, okay, one level is all about finding the Twitter account entertaining and interesting, and interesting and entertaining overlap, and that can be in a non-trivial way as well as in a trivial way. So, for example, tweeting out photographs of what you had for breakfast, or your dog and your cat kissing each other, or anything else like that. They're interesting. They humanize the business, and it's a way of humanizing the business, I suppose. But the other side is information, you see. So people follow, businesses follow other businesses in order to get information. They may also do it for a third reason, which is about network building, and but I suppose that might also fall under information. So I'm sort of working on this in my own mind, and the conversation would be greatly enriched by contribution from others. So here's my invitation to you to chip in on the issue. I have one last thing to say, and it's all about, you know, what's best practice internationally. And I'd like to know who are the top 10 Twitter business-to-business global accounts. What are the top 10 Twitter business-to-business global accounts? You know, do they include Vodafone? Do they include GE? Who do they include? And I'm not knowledgeable enough, really. But I know that several of my Twitter contacts are knowledgeable enough and have actually consulted with the world's greatest business-to-business users of Twitter. I know that for a fact. Although I'll tell you, I don't know which exactly one of my Twitter contacts has done this. So I'm looking for somebody to save me a bit of time. This is a kind of crowdsourcing via Audioboo, if you like. Anyone who can nominate at least one company. I want them to be a bit like my client is small in one level, but is actually enormous in terms of its range. I mean, the potential of audio in the context of business development and public policy development and is just phenomenal. And, you know, that is, there is a not just the use of branded audio bits of kit that you would carry around with you, although when you think about the level of literacy in the world and the number of people who would prefer audio to written instructions, you can begin to appreciate the potential of audio as a device, you know, particularly if branded to a product. So just imagine that you're all the instructions that you get inside, oh, I'll pick something at random, cosmetics, you know, all the cosmetics you use, you know, loads of stuff inside in the box, giving information. Presented in what? A user-friendly way? Never, never, never. When's the last time you waded through all those instructions? Now, if on the other hand you received a very engaging set of instructions about, you know, the do's and don'ts in relation to the cosmetic that you've just done on an interesting audio, you know, something that you could play to your friends and family separately. I mean, how powerful would that be? So I think we're barely scratching the surface of audio. And I've talked with other people in the world, in my world, if you like, about the potential of audio. And, you know, I believe that in 10 years' time, we're going to see a revolution led by two things. One is the whole mobility issue, where everybody becoming more mobile. And, you know, are you listening to me on a smartphone, I wonder? Or are you listening to me in your office? Or how are you listening to me? But a good number of you are listening to me on your Android, and more of you are listening to me on your iPhone. I know that for a fact. And some of you are even listening to me on the iPad. So, okay, back to the core question. How many Twitter accounts should a company that is majoring in three different sectors globally, how many should it have? And Trevor Winkworth, when you listen to this, you know, I haven't asked your permission to do this Audioboo, and I do it because I think, well, not only have you posed an absolutely wonderfully a question relevant to in-hand guides, but there are others out there who will want to know the answer to this issue. And no matter what answer we come up with, this is my last word, no matter what answer we come up with on this, there will be a downside. So it isn't as if there is a perfect solution, but there is a good enough solution, and there's one that creates opportunities, and there's a solution that would create dead ends. So there we are. Thank you very much for listening to this business-to-business Audioboo. Bye-bye.